Please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I don't have a PowerPoint today, so we'll have to read things the old way. We've been alluding to this incident and this scripture the last couple of weeks, totally unrelated, but for some reason I keep getting drawn to it. But I'd like to speak on the thought this morning. You've got one shot, so make it a good one. 1 Samuel 17, beginning with verse 40. Then he, speaking of David, took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. The Philistine moved closer to attack him. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine. Killed him. Let's bow our hearts and let's ask God's blessing on his word together. Father, once again, we give all honor and glory and praise to you. Thank you, God, for this privilege that we have to come into your house to worship you as one body together. We also thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your blood, but we do thank you also for your Holy Spirit. Pray that you would just send your Holy Spirit upon us today as we look to the Word of God. May you give words to this speaker and open up our ears to everything that you would have us to hear today. And we ask this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. It is a common plot, if you like movies, and I know a lot of people like movies. I enjoy a good movie. And one of the common ways that a movie ends is, you know, the climactic scene is, you know, a person has just one shot, one opportunity to save the day. Whereas the movie Hoosiers, I don't know if anyone saw Hoosiers, it's about a rural basketball team in the state of Indiana, and they're playing for the state championships, and at the end, the star of the team, he didn't want to play, his name was Jimmy Chitwood. He gets the ball, he makes the shot, and the little little basketball team from the town of Hickory wins, and you know he's going to make it. And for those of you more science fiction fans, is the Star Wars, you know, the first Star Wars, which I guess was the fourth Star Wars, however that works out. And, you know, not Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker's flying his jet, and he's got one shot to blow up the Death Star and save the day. You know, will he make it? Will he not make it? You know, people are shooting at him and all this stuff is happening. And of course he blows it up and he saves the day. And, you know, it's kind of an overused thing, but we enjoy that story. And even though we know what's going to happen, it's a movie, and very few movies have sad endings because no one wants to see a sad ending. We all want to see a good ending. We watch it, and we get a little bit excited. Will he make it? Will he not? If, you know, we want to get into the movie. But that's the movie. It's not real life. We see in life sometimes we only have one shot to accomplish something in our lives, to accomplish something for the kingdom of God. And we need to make sure that the shot that we've been given and the shot that we take is a good one. I think this was in somewhat, if you're just looking at things in the natural, and we know, and I know you spiritual people out here, I'm not trying to say that it was only by the power of the sling that David won. But if you're looking at this battle between David and Goliath on paper, it was a mismatch. You've got a gangly 16-year-old kid. Good looking, sure. Athletic, sure. But 16. And I'm not trying to offend 16-year-old kids here today. Glad you're here, but I was 16. I wasn't too gangly. I was more short and stubby, but you get the picture. And, you know, full of zeal, didn't know any better. Above all, God was on him. And he's facing this giant. You know, we've talked about him in recent weeks. We don't know how tall he was. Some folks say 9 feet. Some folks say 13. He's a lot bigger than David. He's got, you know, the coat of mail. He's got the javelin, the spear. He's got the sword. He's got another guy with the shield. So actually, it's two against one. And here David is with his sling. Now Saul goes, you know, the Lord be with you. But I can imagine if this was a movie. And, you know, for some reason they have to change things for the movie. They'd have, you know, kind of a coach, maybe Abner. I think Abner was Saul's captain of his army. I could just see him kind of chewing gum with his sweats on and his little whistle, saying, "All right, kid," you know, massaging his shoulders. If there was someone here, I'd probably massage their shoulders, but people have learned not to sit here. "You only got one shot, kid. Make sure it's a good one." And then I could see him saying, "That kid ain't got a chance." Because I think that's the way Saul felt, and basically his brothers felt. And if you're looking at it in the natural, he only had one shot. If he missed with the stone, he's got nothing, because Goliath was there with his long wingspan, his big sword, his javelin, his spear, and would have just mowed him down. It would, you know, wouldn't have been a battle. One shot, he had to make it good. And he took it. And it was a good shot. And he won. In life. And this was a life and death battle. I don't know what Saul was thinking in allowing David to do this, because this was not just a fight between two guys. The challenge of Goliath was that you bring out your best champion to fight me, and whoever wins, winner take all. And he allows David to go. This was a life and death battle. The very future of Israel hinged on this one battle. And there are opportunities, battles, if you were, that we face as believers, and we only have one shot. And we need to be sure that they're good shots. That we, number one, take the shot that we've been given. And we make sure it's good. Now, in saying that this morning, I don't want to say that God is not a God of second, third, fourth, fifth, a multiple number of chances. Because He is. I thank God that God is a forgiver of sin, not only before we come to that place of faith in Christ, but even afterwards. If He wasn't, I wouldn't be here, but neither would any of you. As many times as we might sin, God forgives. God heals and God restores if we come to Him and ask for His forgiveness to wash over our lives. When we face setbacks in our lives, thank God it's not the end. We can start over again. I think of the man Job. I don't know how old Job was. The man in the Old Testament who lost everything. He must have been someone at least middle-aged in that he had adult children. He lost it all. He lost his health. He lost his material goods. He lost his children. But he started over again. And God gave him even more than he had before. But there are other things in life that we only have one opportunity to make good on. And if we miss it, that opportunity's gone forever. And I've found, as far as serving Jesus Christ, serving Christ is a balance between being patient and waiting on God's timing and being full of zeal and making the most of the opportunities that God presents to us, especially these one-shot opportunities. What are one-shot opportunities? What are these opportunities that we only have this one chance to make good on? Well, we have, of course, what some may refer to as divine encounters. Those people, those individuals we just kind of stumble upon in our lives, apparently randomly. People who are in need. People who are searching. They're hungry for the truth. People you will probably never see again. I found that as far as my life and living and coming in contact with people, no interaction with any other person is by chance or just random. And there are often times, especially those times where I find myself in a place or a situation that I don't want to be. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be in this place. Whether it's a store or someone's house, I'd rather be someone else. But circumstances don't just draw me there. They seem to drag me there. It's for a purpose. To have that so-called chance encounter with someone. Someone who's in need. Those are opportunities. That's our one shot to do something for the kingdom. We need to have the mindset as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who we are and as far as ministers, because we've all been called to do something. And there is something that we've all been called to do, and that's spread the gospel. And it's not just, and yes, we should spread the gospel and work upon those who are in the circle of our lives, those that we have relationship with. But we also need to be mindful of the fact that we are, as Matthew chapter 13 describes us, farmers. Or as the King James, or not sure about the NIV, how that translates it, sowers, or planters of seed. In the Old Testament, when a farmer went out to plant seed, he had a bag of seed. He took it and just threw it wherever it went. He didn't worry about it. He sowed the seed and went on. And that's our calling as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We might feel, you know, I don't know this person. I'll never see this person again. So Why bother? It's a chance encounter. It's a one-shot opportunity to impact that person for the kingdom of God. And as a sower of seed or as a farmer, it's important that we take that opportunity to plant that seed. Whether you never see them again, it doesn't matter because you're not in control. God is. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 or 2. You know, I sowed, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. If you're faithful to do what God has called you to do, God will bring along someone else to take what you've sown and bring it to the next level. So when we have those chance encounters, I remember once I was asked to go to a party, and it was like the day before. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to go to this party. I don't have anything against parties. I just didn't want to go that day. It messed up my schedule. But, you know, I went. And sure enough, when I was there, I started talking to someone. And they just poured their heart out about a lot of different struggles they were going through. In fact, the situation was, you know, just making small talk. So where do you live? Well, 4 days I live at a motel, and 3 days I live at a rest stop. It's a homeless person. So it was an opportunity to share Christ with them that if I didn't take it, would have been lost. It's important that we, in these divine encounters, that we take our shot because they may never be open again to hear the Word of God. Or they may never meet another Christian. And in our, you know, we're in the Northeast, a place that's very hard and very cold, a place that's in need of the gospel and people sharing the gospel. But what's sad to say is, not only is there an opportunity for people not to meet another Christian, there's also a possibility that they might not meet another willing Christian, willing to take that one shot at sharing Jesus with them. Then there are lifetime opportunities. And specifically, what I'm speaking of this morning is the call of God on our lives. I alluded to it just a few moments ago. But every one of us, if we have accepted Jesus, God has a plan for our lives. There's a calling upon us. Not everyone's called to be a pastor. But all of us are called to do something for God's kingdom. And I've found, as far as being a pastor, and I've shared before my calling, you know, I wasn't looking for it. I was cleaning up at work once, and I wasn't really serving God the way that I should. I just said to God quietly in my thoughts as I was cleaning up at my job, you know, God, I think I'm ready to serve you the way that I should. And, you know, immediately I just felt the Holy Spirit say, I want you to go to Zion and I want you to preach. I just didn't wait around for a church to call. I had to direct my life. I had to take that shot at ministry. I had to go to school, and of course that's something God called me to do. But then I had to take it from there. I had to get my education. I had to work on my credentialing process because I felt God called me to the Assemblies of God. I had to inquire in churches. I had to pray. I had to talk with other leaders, those who were over me. I had to prepare, not just wait. In fact, let me just step back a few moments. I did wait initially 6 months. Because it was just unexpected. I didn't say yes right away. Thank God I didn't wait too long. But let me tell you, one of the most miserable people I have ever met was a gentleman I worked with in Kentucky who had the call of God on his life. And he never took that shot. He never stepped forward in what God wanted him to do. He was too afraid to do so. Doors of opportunity don't remain open forever. And one of the common enemies of man is time. And a day, putting off things for a day, can easily turn into a week, can easily turn into a year, can easily turn into a decade, and before you know it, you've lost your opportunity to do anything for God's kingdom. Not everyone's called to be a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary, but everyone's called to do something. And your calling requires you to do something about it. Give the expression is to get off your hind end and pursue that calling with all your heart. Not miss out on that shot. Then there are what I like to refer to as protracted shots. And it's not a shot that, you know, we only have a day or a moment, but we have many years. And this shot that we need to take is probably the most important shot or opportunity that we need to make the most of. I mean, Paul puts it this way, we need to make the most of every opportunity. And that's with our children. Our natural children that God has given us. But also our spiritual children. The kids that God allows us to minister to, whether it's in this church or in your life. We really only have, even though it's for a number of years, we really only have one shot to impact them for the kingdom of God, to mold them, to influence them, to do what's, I think, really hard for us to do in the society that we live, and that's invest our time in their, and our energies in them. If this is wounding you, it's wounding me just as much this morning. Just like time waits for no one as far as God's calling upon our lives, time waits for no one as far as our children. And you all who have grown children know better than I do that they don't stay small very long. And before you know it, they're grown and they're gone. And we only have one brief opportunity to influence them for the kingdom of God and show them that the Jesus Christ that we profess to serve and love is real and true and genuine. And if that opportunity is lost, childhood never comes around again. Why do we not take those shots? And everyone's done that. You know, the kid on the basketball team, you know, the score's close, he gets the ball, he doesn't take the shot, he passes off instead, so on and so forth. Why do we fail to make the most of the opportunities that God has given us? I think there's several reasons. Number one, people don't care. You know, David could have very easily said, hey, I'm a shepherd. No matter what happens here on the battlefield, I'm still going to be a shepherd. Someday I'll be on the lines. I'm just here bringing cheese and bread. David wasn't even supposed to be there. But his father sent him there on an errand of mercy to his brothers who were on the front lines and said, hey, this is your battle. Peace. I'm going home. But he didn't. He took that opportunity when no one else would. And it's so easy for us to fall into that same trap. You know, someone else will talk to this person. The Sunday school teacher will invest their time in my kids. Someone can do a much better job in pastoring or teaching or being involved with women or helping out, you know, with the poor and needy or whatever calling that you might have on their life. Someone better than me. I've got better things to do. Which leads me to my next reason we don't. David could have let his brothers do it. Kind of like the basketball guy. There's someone who shoots better than I. You know, why would I take the shot? And a lot of times when we look at ourselves, we view ourselves as not being up to the task. And let me tell you, there will always be someone better than you who can preach, who can teach, who can sing, who can parent, who can lead, who can do whatever God is laying upon your heart to do or has given you the opportunity to do. There'll always be someone better. But God, nonetheless, is calling you. And we've got to do it anyway. But there's someone better than us. We allow low self-esteem to beat us up and to keep us from doing what God has called us to do. We even might let the weaknesses and the failures in our lives, even the sin, and I'm not saying we're to live in unconfessed sin, but do you know how many people are sinners here this morning? The 40 or 50 who are sitting in this room, that's how many. None of us are perfect or well equipped. And if we pass the buck, even though someone might take that opportunity, there is a high likelihood that no one will. And an opportunity of ministry would be lost. And then thirdly, we might feel that our weapons are too weak. I'm not, as I mentioned last week, talking about David and Goliath, I'm not into the art of war and that type of thing. But my own natural thinking is saying, a sling is not a real great weapon or a good match against a sword and a spear and a shield. Basically, it's a rock, smooth stones. I don't know how big it was. Might have been this big, might have been this big. But nothing. All Goliath would have to do, or his armor bearer would have to do, is lift up the shield, and that's it. And then, shoot, down comes the sword, or out comes the javelin, and that's it. In fact, David tried on Saul's armor. He said, I'm not used to these things. I can't do this. All I've ever used is a sword, is a sling. I've never used a sword. So no way am I going to take on Goliath. And we can feel that way as far as the challenges that we have in ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people. What are our weapons? In the eyes of men, they are like a sling. Which are what? Preaching in prayer, sharing the word of God, and praying for people, asking God to move, giving God an opportunity to move. It doesn't seem like any match to all that the world has to offer. Man, I'm glad you have to pray for me, but I owe $1,000. If I don't come up with $1,000 tonight, I'll be kicked out of my house. Well, it's nice you can share a scripture with me, but, I've got a deadly disease and I don't have much time left. It isn't going to help me much. I'm not saying that would be the response of these people, but these are things that go through our mind. What can I give that will help? That will minister? We also have our own weaknesses and limitations to overcome. I don't have time. God calling us to invest ourselves in our children's lives, whether it's, our physical children or the children of this church. I don't have time, or when I come on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning or whenever it might be, I just feel so tired. Or I don't have the gift of gab that maybe someone else has. Some people that, words just flow out of their mouth like butter. And me, it's much more difficult. And so we feel like we don't have the weapons or the tools to make that good shot. We feel like we're going to lose or miss. And so we quit. A friend this morning has no reason not to take a shot, and not only to take a shot, to expect that the shot that we take will be successful. David, although he was youthful and full of exuberance, was no dummy. Excuse the expression. He ran, the Bible says, towards Goliath with confidence because he knew that God was with him. And God was more powerful than not just Goliath, but all of the armies of the Philistines combined. In fact, he needed not just one shot to take, and if he didn't take it, he would have died. All he needed was one shot because God was with him, and that's all it took. And if he missed with the sling, it would have been something else, but he didn't need anything else because the Lord was with him. And God is with us as well. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians. He talks about his own ministry. And he talks about his preaching ministry, and I don't know what kind of preacher he was, but when he preached at Corinth, apparently he wasn't that good of a preacher. He says of himself in his own ministry, "I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling." He wasn't real eloquent. Apparently he didn't feel very confident. His words weren't powerful. As far as in man's eyes, very persuasive in what they said, but the next verse goes on to say they were powerful in the demonstration of God's Spirit. I know in my own personal experience, there have been times where, you know, a sermon has been just a trial and a difficulty, I'm sure, not only to the hearers, but to me speaking. And some sermons go, you know, smooth and wonderful and everything just flows, and others you feel like you're in a machete trying to hack your way out of a thick jungle. And you can't wait for it to get over. But I tell you, a lot of times those messages, people have come up to me where I just feel like it's just been awful. Some have been so bad, you know, in a fleeting way, I'm just thinking, I never want to preach again. They'll come up, you know, when you said this, that really touched me, and I'm like, well, thank you, and I'm saying that. But it's not about you or your strength. It's about God and His anointing upon His Word. And even though we might be weak in body or mind, and even though we don't have the rational arguments of the world has all these rationalities and complicated arguments and all these needs and all these complicated situations that are impossible. God is the God of the impossible. God is able to overcome any obstacle that we may face. And even with the sling of God's Word and the stone of His Spirit, against the sword, spear, javelin, and shield of the world, just one shot is more than enough. So as believers, our musicians can come once again. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, let's be people who take our best shot. Taking our best shot, I believe, requires three things. Number one, we need to ask God to restore a burden to touch others for His kingdom. You know, I living in the world, and the world is this is not heaven. Amen. It's a tough place. And we get wounded by the world. And the thing that happens when you get wounded, when you heal, scar tissue develops and your heart can become very, very hard. One reason that we don't care, we don't want to take that shot with other people. Let someone else minister to the kids. This guy I'm sitting next to on the bus or whatnot I'm working with. Hey, that's his problem. That's not mine. That can happen when you're living life, especially if you've been wounded or just tired and fatigued. When we feel that way, that's the time that we need to pray and ask God to restore the sensitivity to our heart, to give us His heart once again, a burden for those who are wounded, need encouragement, but above all, who are lost. Christ, so that when those opportunities present themselves, we take that full opportunity. Number two, we need to seize that opportunity, which means we need the boldness of the Holy Spirit. A thousand things run through your mind. If your mind's anything like mine, opportunities present themselves. What do I say? What will there be reaction? You know, 101 questions you ask yourself. The thing about asking yourself all of these questions, when you ask yourself, you delay and very possibly miss out on an opportunity. God's Holy Spirit moved upon people. They just had that unction within them do when it was time to do. Holy Spirit is one who gives boldness to be people who take and make the most of every opportunity they're given. Are people who are filled with the Spirit of God and have that boldness within their hearts and souls. And lastly, we need not to be ashamed our weapons. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But David just didn't have the slang. He just didn't pick it up when that morning and say, I'm going to use this against Goliath. David had used the stone and the sling successfully many times prior to that, fighting lions and bears, which are pretty ferocious creatures. They may not have had sword and spear, but they had teeth and claws. I wouldn't want to mess with them. We need to be prepared as David was. We need to know the word. We also need to be people who walk closely with the Spirit of God. And every day, God, because we don't know when those opportunities are going to present themselves. Every day we need to ask God for the anointing of His Holy Spirit to be upon us. God, anoint me today. I mentioned this before. Every day I ask God to help me to be strong in the face of sin and temptation. But I also ask God every day to give me the strength to do what He's called me. Whether it's things I know that I'm going to do or those one-shot opportunities that come my way. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to sing a chorus of worship together and then have a word of prayer together. More words in prayer. But let's just thank God that God has given us the privilege to minister for His name and His purpose. Amen. Let me tell you, I don't think there's anything more rewarding than taking down a giant. I think that was one of the high points of David's life. And when we take time and we make the most of those opportunities that are presented to us, better.